Well, good morning, church. How great is it to be together with God's people as we worship Him this morning? I'm grateful that you are here with us. And on this special morning of extended Christmas worship, I want to invite you to join me, please, in John's Gospel. We'll be in chapter number 14. So if you'd turn there, please, to John chapter 14, and we will get there shortly. First, while you're finding John 14, I want to tell you, this week I ran across a list of some folks who, interestingly, they have what I would call literal names. That is, their name kind of describes them, describes what they do. And I want to share just a few of those with you. Like this first one, Dallas Rains is a meteorologist in Los Angeles. And that Rains, you see the connection there. Or some of you might remember Willie Thrower. He was a quarterback in the NFL back in the 1950s. In fact, he was the first black quarterback in the NFL. Another one, maybe you're more familiar with, Tim Duncan. Legendary, Hall of Fame, NBA center for the San Antonio Spurs. He made a living dunking over people, right, in the lane. And then here's another one. Chris Moneymaker was the 2003 World Series of Poker champion, all right? He just made money and lived up to his name. It's ironic how these people's names align so well with what they did for a living. Well, that got me thinking, not just about literal names, but are there some literal job titles out there? And I found a few. And I want to see if you can figure out what we would more normally call these folks. Like, the first one is a petroleum distribution engineer. You know what that is? That would be a gas station attendant, yeah, who's distributing the petroleum. All right, now some of you younger in the crowd don't know what that means. All right, so you used to be able to go to the gas station and get full service, which meant that they would pump the gas for you and wash your windows and check your oil and all that stuff. It was really before my time. I just know about it, okay? I'm not. Anyway, we're going to move on. Or here's another one. Maybe you know this one, a sandwich artist. Yeah, Subway. And matter of fact, this is literally the title that Subway uses for people that make sandwiches in their shops. They're called sandwich artists. I don't know how literal that is. I'm not sure we call that art, but they do, all right? And here's another one, a product placement specialist. Wow. Y'all are quick on that, all right? Now, that sounds like, I thought marketing or something, but look, yeah, it's someone stocking the shelf at Kroger or Walmart or, you know, where they're placing the product there. And then I've got one more for you, director of fountain operations. I thought, oh, yes. I thought, you know, Las Vegas, the Bellagio, the elaborate fountain that they have. No, think smaller, and it is like QT, the guy that's over the drink station, right? Director of fountain operations. You see how that works? Maybe you have, what if we all have some literal titles? And, you know, maybe you have some folks in your household that would fit some of these titles, like mom. Think about what would mom's literal title be? I mean, there's so many because she does so much, probably. But like, for instance, mom is probably the health manager in your family. That tends to be one thing that mom does because dads don't worry as much about health, right? We're going to move on from that. And so, in my home, I could be accused of being the resident reverberant snoozer. Reverberant means loud, by the way. And allegedly, I have a tendency to snore a little bit when I'm sleeping. I can neither confirm nor deny the accuracy of that statement, but it's allegedly. Anyway, your home may have, if you have younger ones especially, you may have a junior food critic in your house. You know who that is? That's the kid that sits at the table, is not eating anything but hot dogs and macaroni and cheese, right? And he's just a picky eater. That might have been me too last week. But anyway, your home might also have a CCO. This would be a chief complaint officer. Not the one that receives the complaints, but the one giving them, all right? That person in your family is just never happy, always complaining about something, and well, you know who that is. Well, anyway, back when I was primarily responsible for business administration here at First Hearst, I would sometimes, like in First Steps, I would introduce myself jokingly as, well, I'm Jason Meyer, I'm the Minister of Air Conditioning here at First Hearst, because it felt like that was my literal title. That's what I did with all my time. And I'm going to tell you, that's a job that I don't miss, all right, because it's hard keeping all of you people comfortable and happy in the same room. Be patient. with the folks that are responsible for that today. It is a tough job. But literal job titles, as we think about that, you know, Jesus has a literal title. And we find it in Matthew chapter number 1. We've talked about it the last couple weeks already. It points out there that his name is Emmanuel. And I say that's kind of a literal name, a literal title, because it literally means God with us. Jesus, born in a stable, laid to rest in a manger, a feeding trough for the barn animals. He was, he is, and he always will be Almighty God. In Christ, the eternal, most holy God humbled himself to become one of us, like us in every way except for our sin. For his time here on earth, he was God with us. And as we've said repeatedly already in this Advent season, he became God with us so that we could be with God. Well, we learned this morning from the very words of Emmanuel, from God with us, in our text in John chapter number 14. And there I'm going to begin in verse 15, where Jesus was speaking to his disciples not long before he would be leaving them. And he said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." Now, that word helper, sometimes that's translated advocate. Or versions of the Bible will have their counselor. The Bible you're reading from this morning might even say comforter. All these words point to the same Greek word. The ESV renders it helper. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Who's this helper? Even the Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit of God, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. You know, we don't call the Holy Spirit Emmanuel. We kind of reserve that title for Jesus. But the name works for the Holy Spirit just as well as it does for Jesus. It fits perfectly, in fact, because just as truly as Jesus is God who came to be with us, so the Holy Spirit is likewise God who is with us. God with us, as we've seen over the last couple weeks, it really takes us back to God's original purpose in creation, that we would enjoy sweet fellowship with the Almighty Creator and Sustainer of all that is. That fellowship that Adam and Eve knew ever so briefly in the garden, until, of course, that fellowship was broken by man's sin. And we saw that clearly portrayed last week in the tabernacle. It's pictured even in the very structure of the tabernacle, that Old Testament place to meet with God, although in the tabernacle, man was very separated from God's presence. But we also noted last week how that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He came to earth as Emmanuel, as God with us, and he fulfilled the purpose of the tabernacle. By the sacrifice of himself, he opened the way for us to be reconciled to God by his saving grace. He made a way for us to once again be in God's very presence, to enjoy that sweet fellowship for which we were created. It's a work of redemption. It's the work of God to restore and reconcile his creation, to restore it back to his original purpose. Well, today, as we jump forward now to the New Testament time frame, we see this God with us theme all over again, even in our text for today. As we read there, Jesus was speaking to his followers, his disciples, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. He referred to him as the Spirit of truth. And he said, he will be with you forever. He dwells with you and he will be in you. The Spirit is literally God with us. Now, before we go further, let's just clear up any confusion or wondering about this point. The Holy Spirit is God. Just as the Father and the Son are each recognized as Almighty God himself, so is the Spirit of God. In fact, consider the classic Christmas verse from that prophecy in Isaiah. The choir sang about it just a few moments ago in Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." Well, that's speaking about Jesus who would come at Christmas. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful," what? Counselor. Hang on, that was one of the titles for the Holy Spirit. But we're talking about the Son. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. His name will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father.
we're still talking about the Son, but it'll be called Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, when this prophecy was given so long before even that holy night in Bethlehem, the Lord already had revealed that he is the triune God. And here in this single Old Testament verse, we see that Jesus, the Son of God, the Son who would be given, would share the name of the Holy Spirit of God, the Counselor. He would share also the name of God the Father, because they are one. This is why Jesus could say during his teaching ministry, I and my Father are one. In fact, verse 16 of our text is another example where we see all three persons of the Trinity in a single verse. Jesus said there, I will ask the Father who would give us another helper, the Spirit. So you have Jesus the Son. He asked the Father to send the Spirit. Father, Son, and Spirit all in one verse. And the direct point to take away from this is that the Holy Spirit is God. This same Holy Spirit is the one of whom the angel Gabriel spoke to a very confused Mary in the town of Nazareth. He told her that she had found favor with God and that she was going to give birth to a son who would be the Son of the Most High. And Mary, understandably, was like, excuse me, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And in Luke 1:35, it tells us the angel answered her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Gabriel, the angel there, spoke of how the Holy Spirit is the Most High God. He's not some lesser representative of the Godhead, but he is Almighty God himself. He is holy and worthy of praise. He is omniscient and all-powerful. Everything we understand and know of God, everything about himself that God has revealed to us in his word, it is true of the Holy Spirit. Don't think of him as anything less than the one true holy God. And don't miss the fact that he is with us. You see, in our text there in John 14, Jesus was preparing his disciples for his soon departure. This was right before Jesus would be arrested. Within hours, he would be convicted by the Jewish Sanhedrin. He would be handed over to the Roman authorities. He would be condemned and scourged and crucified. And Jesus knew that he also, 3 days after he laid down his life, he would take it up again by his own power in victory over death. And so the departure for which he was preparing them, it wasn't just the events of his suffering in the hours ahead, but Jesus was looking forward even to his ascension. It was going to happen in about 45 days from when he spoke these words, when he would return to heaven from whence he had come as we celebrate at Christmas. He would again sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Within just weeks, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, would no longer be with us. But even as he was preparing his disciples for this new and startling reality, Jesus told them reassuringly that in fact, God would still be with them. Not only that, he would be within them in the indwelling Holy Spirit. No, Emmanuel is not a title we typically ascribe to the Holy Spirit, but kind of like that product placement specialist. That's not the term that Kroger uses, but that's precisely what those folks do. Similarly, Emmanuel, it works as a title for the Holy Spirit, because for everyone who's been saved by the grace and mercy of God through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus for your salvation, the Spirit of God dwells with you. He dwells within you. He is God with us. And so with the short balance of our time this morning, we're going to consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit as God with us. And of course, you understand before we launch into that, that we would be fools to think that in the next 15 minutes we can cover everything there is about the Holy Spirit. No, he's infinite God. His works and his thoughts and his ministry and his ways are so far beyond us. But we will this morning just kind of scratch the surface of his works and his ministry. We're going to consider five literal titles we could ascribe to the Holy Spirit as God with us. And the first of those literal titles, we could call him the convicting witness. Convicting witness. That's precisely what he does. He convicts us of our sin. He convicts us of our need for the Savior. He witnesses to us about the Christ. He is a convicting witness. In fact, in John 16:8, Jesus said of the Spirit that when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. This is that sense of a guilt or maybe shame that you have felt for the sin that you've committed and the wrong that you've done. Particularly if you've never trusted Jesus for salvation, as you begin to kind of recognize that your sins truly have separated you from God, like we've spoken about for the last couple of weeks, that's the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, making that very uncomfortable and even unwelcome truth plain to you. The Spirit convicts us, and then he draws us unto himself. He draws people to the Lord. The reason I can say that I'm saved today is because in his merciful grace, the Holy Spirit drew me unto himself. The Spirit ministered to me, and he caused me to come under the sound and the influence of the gospel message. The Spirit is the one who placed this longing in my heart to be with God. The Spirit is the one who led me to seek to understand the gospel and what it means. And the Spirit is the one who caused me to recognize that without the salvation that is in Jesus Christ alone, I would go out from this life into an eternity without Christ, forever separated from God in hell. The Spirit of God drew me to himself with that yearning and that restlessness and that sense of desperation that I need the gospel to save my lost and dying soul. And praise the Lord, the Spirit of God placed around me people who loved me, people who loved me enough to share the gospel with me, people that showed the love of Christ to me. He did this miraculous work within me when he gave me faith in the saving work of Jesus to redeem me. You see, the Spirit of God did all this work to draw me to Christ, and he's done that in many of your hearts as well. In John 15:26, Jesus was still talking about the Spirit of God. He said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." And that's what the Spirit has done in my life. He's borne witness about the Christ. This work of the Spirit is what illumines our hearts and our minds to understand and to receive the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. The Spirit allows us to recognize our need for the Savior, and he allows us to recognize that Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient. He is our Savior. For all of us who've been saved, this is what the Spirit of God has done in our lives. He's convicted us of sin. He's drawn us to himself. He's witnessed of Christ. It's the same work that he did last week in First Terce Espanol in our services there when three different folks responded to the gospel message and trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. They passed from death unto life, and praise God for his work of redemption among us. Amen, church? Yes. Hey, the angels of God are rejoicing today. We might as well rejoice too. The Holy Spirit is the convicting witness of Christ who brought that to pass. Another literal title for the Spirit is affirming guarantor. He's our affirming guarantor. When you repented of sin and trusted Jesus as your Savior, you received the Holy Spirit. He came to dwell within you, and he became your affirming guarantor. And here's what I mean. Acts 2:38, Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Over in Romans chapter 8, verse number 11, Paul wrote about his Spirit who dwells within you. He dwells in us as believers to affirm and to guarantee our salvation. Now, you know, every time you go to the doctor, you have to answer that question on that form that you fill out. And I don't know why we have to fill it out every single time we go to the doctor. It's like, could you not put this on file and just keep it? Wouldn't that be easier? But every time I go, I've got to fill out that same form, and I have to identify who's the guarantor for the medical services you're going to receive today. Because if insurance doesn't cover it for some reason, you're going to be on the hook for it. When you put your name down and say, "I'm the guarantor," you're pledging, "I'm going to cover that financial burden." You're guaranteeing that the bill will be paid. The Spirit does a similar ministry. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul wrote about, he said, in Christ you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us is the guarantee that God is serious about this work of redemption. The Spirit is God's promise that we are His. We belong to Him. He has saved us. And as God with us, the Spirit's presence within us affirms and guarantees our salvation in Christ. And so He reassures us in moments perhaps of doubt. Romans 8:16 says that the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We belong to Him. Whether you've been saved by God's grace for a week, like those three folks from First Terce Espanol, or if you've been saved for a lifetime, since you were 8 or 10 or 12 perhaps, for either one, the Spirit of God is your affirming guarantor of your salvation in Jesus Christ. From there, we find another literal title for the Spirit. He's also our fruitful sanctifier. Our fruitful sanctifier. Every believer in Jesus not only has the Spirit dwelling within you to assure you of your salvation, but He also is doing this transformative work to change you and to mold you and shape you into the character of Christ as you develop that character. Romans 8:29 speaks of this. It says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." That's the work of the Spirit. He conforms us to the image of Christ. Now, I've known a lot of Christians in my time. A lot of believers, many in this congregation right here, folks who just exude the love and grace and mercy and patience and hope and acceptance and kindness and forgiveness. These things that just are the character of Christ. I've known people who just live that out. It's because of the ministry of the Spirit. It's because of God with us. As the Spirit has worked within them to fruitfully sanctify them as they've walked with Jesus. Now, many of you have had a head start on me in this regard because you're just a nicer, kinder person than I am to begin with, all right? But the Spirit of the living God has been doing this powerful work in you, perhaps for years, to mold you and to shape your heart and your character and even your demeanor so that you reflect that of the Savior. He's been sanctifying you. 1 Peter 1:2 speaks of the sanctification of the Spirit because it's the Spirit of God within us who accomplishes this work. He is the sanctifier that shapes and molds us into the image of Christ. He does this as He speaks to us through His Word and as He guides us sometimes through the counsel of other godly believers and as He transforms us in our times of prayer. The Spirit develops within us what we know as the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, the result, the product of the Spirit's sanctifying work in us, as Galatians 5 tells us, it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, these character traits of Jesus, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And as you see these being borne out in other believers, as you see these character traits in yourself, you can know that's the work of the Spirit of God, sanctifying you to be more like Christ. The great work of the Spirit doesn't stop there. He's also our hopeful comforter, our hopeful comforter. And I say hopeful simply because He fills us with hope. Romans 15, verse 13, Paul said, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." As you face struggles, when life is hard, when it's discouraging, when it's hard to even roll out of bed and face another day, when the pieces of your life and your family and your career and your plans don't seem to be falling into place like you thought they would, it's in those times especially that the Spirit of God, God within us, ministers to us so that we can abound in hope. Everything may look like life is just falling apart. There's no space, it seems, for joy amidst the overwhelming heartache and discouragement or failed plans. But it's still in those moments we have this hope as an anchor of the soul. We have this hope of our salvation in Jesus Christ, this hope of our secured, guaranteed eternity with God in heaven. We have this hope in which we can abound, even in the face of hardships, because of the hopeful comforter who ministers as God with us.
He comforts us. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 speaks of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote about the God of all comfort who comforts those who are cast down. It is the Spirit of God within us who works this ministry of comfort to us. He is our hopeful comforter. And one other literal title we could say for the Holy Spirit, He is our empowering guide. He empowers us for the work of ministry. You know, all through the book of Acts, we read about these believers who were empowered by the Spirit of God, filled with the Spirit, and they were serving the Lord and declaring the gospel with boldness. They were having gospel conversations left and right. They were being His witnesses because the Spirit was empowering them. It was exactly what Jesus said would happen in Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Paul prayed similarly for the Ephesian believers in Ephesians 3:16. He prayed that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So God within us, the Holy Spirit, He empowers us for ministry. And He guides us as we serve Him. Like the psalmist understood in Psalm 143:10, he said, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me on level ground." He guides us. He guides us into the truth. He guides us in the way we should go. He guides us as we serve Him each day, moment by moment even. The Spirit of God is our empowering guide. So that fits as another literal title for the Spirit. You know, as we're coming down to the wire before Christmas Day, you realize it's almost here, right? You may have your own literal titles for the next week or so, and it might be something like anxious procrastinator, right? Anyone guilty? Overworked baker? Frantic shopper might be you? Or if you've got young ones at home, sleepless toy assembly engineer, all right? Some assembly required, right? Well, I hope that another literal title you would claim this Christmas would be this: peaceful worshiper. As you rest in the affirming, sanctifying, comforting, empowering ministry of God with us in the Holy Spirit. We celebrate Christmas each year because of its overwhelming spiritual significance that God came to be with us so we can be with God. But I'm afraid we tend to think of it rather like the disciples probably did. Emmanuel, God with us, left us when He went back to the right hand of the Father, and we're just stuck here waiting for His return until we can be with God again. All too easily we forget God is still with us in the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus said in our text back in John 14, He will be with us forever. For all this that the Holy Spirit accomplishes, His ministry to us, it draws us back to that sweet intimacy of God with us. Amen? Let us pray together. Father, we thank You today for the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the work You do in us and through us, how You work within us. Thank You that You dwell within us. Lord, this morning as we prepare for a time of response, I know in this room, some of us, well, we need to lean into that reality that as God with us, You are our comforter. Some have great opportunities before them to serve You, to share the gospel with others, and they need You to be their empowering guide. There are others that maybe have been kind of doubting. They need to be reminded of Your assurance as our guarantee of salvation. But Lord, there's likely some, even in this room today, perhaps watching online, who they've never trusted You as Savior. They've never recognized and repented of their sin. They need You to be their convicting witness today. Spirit of God, would You just
do the work that you would choose to do in each of us, even in these moments of response, that we would be obedient and we would lean into the ministry of the Spirit of God among us and within us. Spirit, would you have your will in us today? Fall fresh upon us, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.